Questioning the Apostle by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Hang on this morning. I thought all week what I might entitle what we read for a scripture today. This morning, I have this title, Questioning the Apostle. Questioning the Apostle. You ever got a lot of questions? You ever have people ask you why you're doing things? This chapter includes a lot of answers to a lot of questions. Some are answered, questions are answered with questions. I recall Jesus did that. The Apostle Paul was getting awful close to his mentor. I try in my mind to think what it must have been like when Moses was out in the wilderness. I try to get in my mind what it must have been like when Paul had all kinds of questions asked. Are you really an apostle? Really? God tends to like to use individuals who have learned how to become nothing. It takes various roads. Let me call life roads. Sometimes you may have been down a road you shouldn't go down. Before my father's death, he took a road south of Murdoch, Kansas. He made a wrong turn and ended up about 25 miles south of his home. Fortunately, people all over the country knew my dad. He was a lot like the man himself. They were both saints, but they didn't act like it sometimes. Right?
Amen.
And when I think about the 30-some years I've been here, I believe that one of the reasons was for the man that sat right there. He wouldn't listen to any of the pastors. He wouldn't listen to them. For some odd reason, he would listen to me. He would listen. I don't know. I know he's not the only reason God brought me here. You see, after I got through school and came here, well, I had a short 7-year stay in Wellsville. Then this church decided that they'd give me a shot. I don't know why. God always knows. But I met some wonderful people. Forgive me, but I've got to use this. one of those men was John the Baptist. At least that's what they called him around Lewis. And he was true to this church. His heart was here. And he and his wonderful wife had a nice sized family. And I just might as well use her name too. Marlene loved kids. She did. And they talked her into driving the school bus. She was driving when I came to Lewis. And I saw her first contract. She got paid $2 an hour. $2 an hour. When I quit, it was 20-something. Because they gave a raise every year. After you're here for 30 years or so,
what?
It makes a difference. And I'll tell you what, there was one time I really got angry. They were giving Marlene a hard time. And I wasn't about to stand for it. Because I love that dear woman. But she didn't realize those kids didn't realize that she loved them. And they were driving her nuts. But it would drive me nuts too. You had about four different factions. And they all decided at different times to take turns fighting with each other. And I could hear it in her voice. She was getting frustrated. I said, Marlene, you got a copy? I just finished my route. And I'll be there in a little bit. I got there and I said, Marlene, you take my bus to the barn. I'll take these kids home. I was angry. And I got up there and I said, you all sit down! You don't realize your pastor can get angry. I can get angry. Because they were giving somebody I cared about a hard time. And they didn't need to do that. They were out of line completely. And I loaded both barrels on them. I know with bus training, they wouldn't teach you to do that. But I did it anyway. Because people I had said, good people, good hearts, people that care. And we need to be like that. That care about where people are at. That realize life is not a honeymoon after you trust Christ. There's ups and there's downs. But you know, one of these days we're going to go up all the way to the top floor. And when I arrive, there's some people I want to see. First of all, Jesus. And then a lot of those other friends I met along the way. Like Dorothy Wheaton, who sat right over there. Who said, Pastor, when I met visitors, she said, Pastor, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm still here. I said, Sister Dorothy, do you pray for us? That are doing the work. Yeah, I pray more than once a day for y'all. I said, Sister Dorothy, if that's the only reason, and I'm sure there are other reasons that God leads you here, that's the reason. Because the power of the ministry is in prayer. It's not in us. It's not in any of us. It's all in Him. and Him working in us, making us into the people He wants us to be. See, it's a journey. It's a journey. There's lots of questions. Are you really the apostle? They asked Paul, are you really? Really? Look at it. Paul affirms he was an apostle with questions. Questioning the apostle. Am I not an apostle? He writes. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? That was one of the prerequisites to being an apostle. You had to have seen Christ. You've been taught by Christ. Guess what Paul was doing on the backside of the desert? He was in Jesus' seminary. There's no better teacher. You can drive all over. I like to listen to good preachers. I like to listen to what they have to say, but I like to know where they come from. Where do they come from? There are some good ones out there. This is just a personal trip?
Say what?
This is just a personal trip, or is this with a Christian group?
It's just a personal trip.
Okay, good enough. Just a question, because they have all kinds of Christian groups. And you better be checking out on the group what they believe and how they're responding, what they're doing in the world. You need to know those things before you get on one of those, because, hey, they'll have it all set up for you. You need to know where they're at, what they're doing, what they're about. These people that were questioning Paul thought they knew more than Paul. It's like some kids I've heard that they've been one semester at college and they knew more than professor. Well, you probably would on some of them. Right? Because you get a tail longer than your arm. And most of it's not true. Some things they don't even share anymore. The truth. And they ought to, because you know what? Jesus said the truth will set you free. Truth is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Our Lord does not change. The world changes. It changes its mind about every 2 seconds. I think this is good for you, not that good for you. I know what's good for me. I need a sweat bath. It helps me drop weight. I need, God knows, to drop some weight. I'm still dropping weight. Praise the Lord. Pray that I don't overdo it. Because I have just a little my dad in me. And this is what my dad did. Okay? He had some kind of a deal going on medically. And the doctor said, you need to get more exercise. He hadn't been walking hardly any. He'd been driving around looking at the farms and doing that kind of stuff. And he decided one day, I'm going to walk down to the other farm. A mile and 3/4 south. And he talks out. He walks out of a pretty good stride. And he's going down there. The next morning, he decided that was not a good thing I did. You and I can overdo it. Especially when we're in retirement age. I build in my mind some pegs. I said, you only got this much time. You got to get this thing done. You got to push on through. But I got to remember, I'm not 25 anymore. I used to be able to do that. Have my shirt wet on the inside and out from working, throwing hay. Oh, that helped you a lot when you played football in the fall. You were in shape. But our sport is not about being in tremendous shape physically. It's about being in tremendous shape spiritually. Now, I found this to be true. When I was in school at Arlington Baptist College, every morning I'd get up and run 2.6 miles in about 12 minutes. It'd be hard to visualize this fat body getting there when it wasn't fat there. 170 pounds. My old playing weight for football. We can be in the best shape possible and be a failure in the spiritual realm. We as God's people need to have discernment to be able to see between truth and error. You know how you do that? Be in the Word. Listen to the Spirit of God who lives inside you. You've got a leg up on the Old Testament saints. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you to show you the difference between truth and error. But He's not going to be teaching you something you haven't gone over. He'll bring things to your mind. Things you've seen, things you've read, things you've studied, things you need to know. Don't get discouraged by questions. I'm trying to learn that. Sometimes I think I know exactly what I need to do. I don't know exactly what I need to do. There's only one who knows exactly what I need to do. That's the Lord. We've got to stay in tune. We've got to listen to Him. We've got to seek His guidance when we haven't a clue what's going on. And especially when we lose someone we deeply care about. We need to know that God is there for us. Oh, sometimes we get angry. I remember when Brother Jim Bailey passed. I remember when Brother Jim passed. Boy, he was a special man. Had a tremendous trust in the Lord. And he taught me an important lesson. Now, don't listen to what he said. He said, why? Listen to what he did. Brother Jim said, God is telling me to give you this truck. Okay, Brother Jim. Okay. Why? Because God said so. I was pretty short on spiritual men then. Here. This was just before Jim's death. Jim worked like crazy on the farm. A lot of sweat and tears, but he and Annie had a youth group. You might have went to that.
Kevin was in my class, we were good friends. was always out there.
I was in over my head. Over my head. Brother Jim was that stabilizing rock for me. I know what it's like when you lose that stabilizer. We're people. We need people. But more than people, we need the Lord. We need to know that He is with us. And no matter what happens, He's going to see us through to the end if we trusted Him seriously as our personal Savior and Lord. We don't understand the road. We don't understand what's going on. But we know somehow, some way, God is going to get the glory. And all we've got to be is an instrument that God can use. Pray for Jim's son, Kevin. Pray for Kevin. I don't think he's ever got over it.
Kind of lost.
Yeah, kind of lost. Losing his dad. Dad, my dad believed in you. My God, he trusted you. Why? I don't know. I still don't know. But I know this. I know where Jim is. To be absent from this body is to be present with Christ. Questions. Are you really an apostle? Paul had it made, humanly speaking. He studied under the greatest teacher of his day, Gamaliel, the greatest spiritual leader of his day. It doesn't matter who you study under, so much as that you study under the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. He is our keeper and our helper. His disciples, Jesus' disciples, they got all confused when Jesus talked about going back to be with the Father. Jesus said, don't worry about it. I'm paraphrasing. Don't worry about it. If I go, I'll send the Comforter. He will be with you. He will help you. He will guide you. He will teach you all things whatsoever commanded you. And by the way, Jesus said this, my commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. If you surrender to me. I added that. And it's important for us to surrender and say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I can't see how you can bring anything good out of this. You pray. You pray. Every day. You believe God. You trust God. You know that God has a plan. God doesn't use very many scholars to write the scriptures. But when he got one, he used him to write most of the New Testament. And I'm sure glad he did. Because we need that guidance, we need that direction, and that understanding that all these questions have. Why did they ask those questions? They were trying to show that Paul wasn't really qualified to be an apostle. Jesus Christ qualifies the unqualified. Unqualified. I get my mouth around that. Sometimes you're just not qualified. How do you say that? Qualified?
Yeah.
Qualified. I just don't qualify.
He does.
Yes.
He and me are majority. And I'll tell you what, he's the 99% on this side. Holding it down. Keeping it strong. We don't need to worry about how qualified we are, because the one who leads us and guides us and helps us every day is the one who is above, who's in charge, who knows it all from the beginning to the end. And he knows your life too, from the beginning to the end, all the way home, perfectly. God, give us grace as the questions come to say, I'm standing with the Lord. I don't care what you believe in. I'm believing in the Lord. Now, verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For, or because, the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Hey. There's no other way that you'd be saved than if I wasn't. I had to be an apostle. I had to have seen Christ. I had to be empowered by Him. His presence was not mighty. And sometimes I envision Paul as this little guy. And remember, he did like the games. He liked to see the competitors give their all. That was Paul. Paul understood how it needed to work. He just couldn't do it himself. He knew how it went about. Paul knew. Because he had the greatest guide, greatest leader there ever was. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're going to follow somebody, it needs to be somebody who's consistent day in and day out. They look to God, they trust God, they follow God, they try to be as much as they can like Jesus Christ Himself. Sometimes it gets hard. What do you say to somebody when they lose the dearest one on earth to them? What do you say? You say, keep looking up. Keep looking up. Don't look down. There's nothing in this world that's going to last except the souls that you can take out with you. That's where Paul was. He knew he didn't have much time. He knew that his opportunities were fleeting. Oh, not that he didn't spend some time. He spent about a year and a half, I think, at Corinth. Year and a half. For Paul, that was an eternity. Paul was an evangelist. You all know what an evangelist was, or is? He wrote to young Timothy, who was a bit mild and unimposing. Do the work of an evangelist. Persuade the people if you can. But don't trust yourself to persuade them. Let the Spirit of God guide you, give you the words to say, so that we can reach the people where the people are. There's a lot of people in this community that need the Lord in their life. Oh, they may attend church here or there, frequently or infrequently, but they don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And without that, you're lost. You're undone. You have no hope in the end of this life. You can live to be 95. George Soros has to be coming up on that, doesn't he? And every few months, I hear something he's done to hurt and harm and injure people. And I wonder, God, how long are your patience? Get rid of it! I look to the Middle East and I think, those idiots are never going to honor. They think they're winning the war. All I got to do is see two or three pictures and know they're not. If you believe the lie, though, you do what is not really thoughtful. It's all about you. It's not about your people. Is it? It's all about you and what you're doing. People, we've got to get beyond that and say, what can I do for the Lord Jesus Christ this week? Amen? Can I spot some people that are needy in my community? We don't even have to be an apostle. Paul was, but he used all these questions and he expected an affirmative answer. Yeah, you are an apostle. We've seen you work. We see how God has worked in your life and used you. In fact, we're converts because of you. And you know what? They ought to have a little more care and concern for Paul's feelings. Really. You lay your life on the line, you say, salary? I don't want any salary. I'll make my own way. Right? That's what he did. Guess I'm boring some of you. Things need to be said. It's time for us to get beyond us and get into helping others. Rip. Roll up our sleeves and not be afraid to do some things that maybe we shouldn't do. You know, I have questions about part of our ministry, what we do. We deliver day-old bread and pastries to people. And I say, is that worth my time? Is it? It might be. The other side of my brain says, you're serving tables. You know what I'm talking about? That's when they got some helpers. He said, you apostles spend your time in prayer. You understand what God wants. And you lead the church in that. I don't know. I'm asking questions. You ever do that with God? Asking questions? What's going on, God? I had those questions all last fall. I said, what's going on, God? I know there's kids out there. What's going on? I know there's kids that need the Lord. I know that we had a youth group back when Jim and Annie were here at 25. Of course, it was a lot easier then. We had school here. Junior high kids. Impressionable kids. Kids that didn't look at adults cross-eyed. What planet did you come from? You don't know how to do your programs on that? You don't know how to get in your new apps? You know, it can get confusing. But we need to be unconfused. And I pray that God will help us. Help us to be a light for Christ, just like Paul was. You're saying, what are you doing in Edwards County? They called me after I was a year and a half. They said, we've got a place down here in Texas, and you can have a church of 500. I said, I can pray about that. It's not what I want, it's what God wants. That's the key. What does God want? What direction does He want us to go? What ministry? We've got some wonderful people. They don't know what they're missing. Really. Seriously. And I pray God will use us to be a blessing, a help, and encouragement, just as He did the apostle. Yeah. That's what this community needs. Not just Lewis. I'm talking about, we've got people that drive in north of Garfield to come here. Not that we're so wonderful. I guess maybe we're not having fooled. It's not the preacher. Because you can find a better preacher anywhere. Amen? Amen. I listen to better preachers. What we need is the Lord in charge. There's a show like that, isn't there? Charles in Charge?
Used to be.
It's probably a good thing. Because for us as believers, Christ needs to be in charge. Let Him lead us, guide us, to be right where we need. And we won't be asking all these foolish questions. Why are you there in Lewis? When are you leaving Lewis? I don't know. God knows. Could be tomorrow. Oh boy, that would be a juicy one, wouldn't it? Pastor's leaving tomorrow. I might be leaving town tomorrow, but I'm not leaving Lewis. Because Lewis is an important place. And a lot of important people in the past had a great influence here. I pray we can return to that again. People need it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the patience these people have. Lord, guide us all. Help us all to always, every day, begin our day with you. Take you through our day. End our day with you. Help us. Guide us. Use us to be a blessing, we pray. In Christ's name.